I'm sure I'm not the only one who's getting tired of seeing the news articles, one after another, a tragedy, one thing after another, a shooting here, a terrorist attack there, Christians having their heads cut off in the Middle East by ISIS. And just recently, yesterday, a good friend of mine was in a kayaking accident, a seminarian for the Diocese of Wichita, and he lost his life on the Arkansas River here in Wichita. One tragedy after another, and like in Dallas, where it was a response to other tragedies, and so there's a retaliation against police officers. One thing after another after another, and it weighs on us. It weighs on us, and I hear it from time to time. Father, what can we do? What can we do in the face of tragedy? How can a Christian respond differently? How does our faith enlighten the way we respond to tragedy? Because it makes a difference. We as Christians can, should, and must act differently. Believe it or not, this gospel is a wonderful example of that, of wonderful kind of springboard of why or how Christians act differently. Now, when you read this gospel, most of the time you just think about, oh, well, you know, Christians should be the ones seeing the guy, you know, on the roadside and be able to lend a hand. That's more or less how the interpretation goes. And that's correct. That's what Jesus says. Go and do likewise. But there's also what's called, the way the fathers would read this parable, what's called an allegorical typology of reading it in the light of Christ, about the future, about the way, the overall context of the church, of salvation history. What if Jesus is actually the Good Samaritan in this story? What if the man beaten on the roadside and lying there in the ditch is humanity? How does that change the way we read this parable? The priest and the Levite who walk by and see the man laying there on the ditch, the fathers would say, that was the Old Testament. That was the law and the prophets that God kept trying to send to revive humanity that had been ravaged by sin. Humanity, mankind, was lying in the ditch bleeding to death. And God sent the prophets and his law to try to revive them. But ultimately, man was left lying in the ditch. The law turned in on itself. The Pharisees and the scribes, the prophets, instead of going out to help, they sought their own self-interest. And that was Jesus' biggest criticism of the temple worship. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And listen, it's kind of telling when you hear what the Good Samaritan did. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. The fathers would say the oil represents the great sacrament of confirmation. How many of the sacraments do we receive? Baptism, confirmation, the holy orders, where we receive, it's a sign that we've received this oil, this sacrament is oil. And the wine poured over his wounds is none other than the blood of Christ, the great sacrament of the Eucharist. Through the sacraments, God heals humanity. He lifted him up on his own animal and took him to the inn and cared for him. He said, I'm coming back. He took two coins, gave them to the innkeeper with the instructions to care for him. If you spend more than this, I will pay you on your way back. The inn, the fathers tell us, is the church. Christ established a church and entrusted humanity to the church. And he will repay us on his way back in the second coming. We've been entrusted with certain gifts, brothers and sisters, to be the light of the world, the leaven of the bread. we don't have the luxury of responding to tragedy the same way as everyone else. We have to be the ones to show the light of Christ. You know, he doesn't open the clouds and come down and fix everything. He addresses suffering and tragedy through us, through you and me, through the sacraments that we receive. And through us, that grace is spread. There's a quote from the Catechism that just I happened to come across. Catechism 1889. Without the help of grace, men would not know how to discern the often narrow path between cowardice, which gives in to evil, and the violence under the illusion of fighting evil, which only makes it worse. So, if virtue is the mean between two extremes, there's one extreme of ignoring evil, showing cowardice in the face of evil, a cold indifference, if you will, and the other extreme of retaliation that we saw in Dallas. We shouldn't be surprised by either of these reactions. Without the help of grace, men don't know how to discern that path. But you and I have been given the gift of grace, the ability to discern that path, the ability to recognize, to be led by the light of the Holy Spirit. And in a world that's being crushed in darkness, the world desperately needs the light of Christ. And that's where you and I come in. And it's not just through great and exceptional moments, but in the daily way we live our lives. The daily way of living with fidelity and faith, allowing the light of Christ to shine us through us there. And in that, we give light to the world.